Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. It is very natural for us to set these different goals for our professional and personal lives and do what we can to turn those visions into achievement. So we have these goals in mind and we are going towards them, but we have to ensure that the time that we're using is actually getting us closer. We're using our time properly. So that's why in this episode, we are going to focus on how you can create what you want in your professional and personal life. So how can you accomplish these big goals, something that you may have been going after for several months or even several years? So that's what we're going to talk about. Today's guest was a chief of staff to Oprah Winfrey for more than a decade. During that time, she was exposed to some of the greatest thought leaders of our time. She is now a certified life coach, speaker, storyteller, adventurer, and creative connector who loves inspiring people to reconnect to possibility in their life and career. Today's guest for episode 167 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Libby Moore. Libby, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so happy to be here on your show. Thank you very much.
Libby, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. And before we get started, I just want to ask you some background. So why exactly did you take this path to becoming a certified life coach?
I never knew that this was going to be my path. I always thought I would be in comedy, or if you want to go way, way back when I was a kid, I wanted to be, the very first thing I remember I wanted to be as a kid was a cowboy. And then I wanted to be an 18-wheeler truck driver. And then I wanted to be a surfer. And then I wanted to be in advertising by the time I got to high school. So by the time I was 25 and got to New York City, because I wanted to write comedy for Saturday Night Live. That was my goal. That's why I moved to New York. And a month after I got to New York City, I got a job as Maury Povich's personal assistant, the talk show host. And then I was with him for 3 years. I left that job. I did some random jobs for 2 years trying to get into comedy. That didn't happen. Then I got a job as Jan Wenner's assistant. Second assistant. I was his second assistant at, he's the founder and publisher of Rolling Stone magazine. I did that for 4 years and I was still trying to break into comedy. I kept thinking this whole executive assistant, personal assistant thing was my, the way to pay my bills, but I was taking stand-up classes, stand-up comedy, improv, sketch comedy. I was in a little sketch comedy group in the West Village in New York at the time while I was doing these jobs. So once I realized, to make a very long story short, that I was not going to break into comedy, I had been sending writing submissions to the Rosie O'Donnell show for a very long time. That wasn't happening. So I just kind of released this whole dream of being in comedy and said, okay, God, okay, universe, whatever it is you want me to do, show me what it is and I'll do it. And 5 weeks later, this opportunity to work with Oprah came along. And that came through a recruiter in Chicago through a networking group that I was in. That's how I found out about the job. I got the job. I went to Chicago. I worked with Oprah as her chief of staff for 11 years. It was 24/7. It was the most amazing experience of my life. One of the most amazing experiences of my life. And by the end of the show, when the show was winding down and then she launched the new network, I was just really fried, meaning burnt out. And, I helped work on the team of people that created Super Soul Sunday. And then once that was launched, I decided to leave and take a year off, which I did. And I was 45 years old at that point. And I just thought, I'm going to take a year and call it the Libby Moore Gypsy Tour, 365 days of following my heart. And then out of that, at the end of that year, people said, so this is to answer your question. People said, what are you going to do now? And I was 46 years old. And I knew I did not want to be an assistant or an executive assistant or a chief of staff or manage anybody's life. I knew I needed to do something different. So when they asked me, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to do exactly what I just did this past year. And they said, what's that? And I said, I'm going to connect with people heart to heart, energy to energy. And everyone kind of rolled their eyes and said, well, how are you going to make money doing that? And I said, I have no idea, but I love it so much. I know the money will come. And then it was about 3 months, maybe 2 months, 3 months later that I decided to get my coaching certification through Martha Beck Life Coach Training. Because my whole life, I had kind of been that person at the office that people would come to with their problems, or friends would come to me with their problems and say, you're really good at listening and helping me work out solutions. So that's kind of something I've done my whole life, even in high school. So I thought, well, I might as well get certified and maybe I'll enjoy doing it as a profession. And that's how I got my coaching certification and started working with people individually.
And you mentioned how you are a good listener, which is obviously something very important for a good coach. So like, if you're thinking about hiring a coach, make sure the person is a really good listener, because that does matter a lot. And you did bring up Oprah, but it's amazing how you never know who knows who. And that's why like these networking events, like especially the larger scale ones, you could meet up with people who can present you with amazing opportunities, as Libby was able to get a lot of experience with Oprah and get exposed to some of the greatest thought leaders of our time. And with that exposure to some of the leaders and people really making an impact, I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the best lessons you learned while working for Oprah and being exposed to all these thought leaders.
The most obvious answer and the one that I always want to talk about is what I learned working with Oprah for 11 years. So being by her side, watching her, observing her in meetings, watching how she handled things, watching how she handled business decisions, personal decisions, the hiring of people, life lessons, hearing about her life. You know, as working at the show, obviously, one of the best things about that job is you get to watch the Oprah Winfrey Show. So every day when we would, when she would tape a show, and she usually taped two shows a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so when the taping would be on, I would shut my door in my office and watch the in-studio feed. So I was doing that twice a day, 3 days a week. So I got to watch the Oprah Winfrey Show, you know, twice a day for 11 years. So that was a massive volume of education, listening to her talk with these people, all these different guests that came on the show. So that was just the most incredible university, I'm putting quotes around that word, of education that I could have gotten. And so again, this just popped into my head. You asked about examples of lessons that I learned. I remember early on when I first started the job, there was, I managed a team of five assistants, and then together as a team, we helped keep her life in sync, making sure that her whole personal and business life was synchronized. And I was the key liaison between her and different points of her life, really. So not handling I didn't handle everything. I was the liaison between her and different points and organizing. So I remember I had a conflict, not an argument really, but a problem, an issue with someone on her team. And I said to her, and I felt like this person was just kind of like getting away with a lot and felt very entitled. And I said to her, I can't believe you let this person just do this and just kind of, you know, act this way and da, 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 or something like that. And she said, Libby, you are my chief of staff. If you believe that that person has more power than you, then you're right, because that's your belief. But keep in mind, you are my chief of staff. So do you understand what I'm saying? She was saying, like, if you believe, it doesn't matter what the position is, it doesn't matter if it's who it is, if you believe that that person has more power over you than they do. So it's not even about hierarchy or positioning. It's your beliefs. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I really like the idea of the beliefs being central, because like the way we view like our goals is going to impact our ability to accomplish those goals. And you mentioned when you became, when you wanted to be a, like connect with people and be a life coach, like people were asking, well, how are you going to make money from this? You said you had no idea, but you knew the money was going to come because the love that you have for this area. And like a lot of people, they are pursuing something that they really enjoy, but they may not necessarily have the money coming in right now. And that could be one of their goals, like make more money. And they're like other professional and personal goals as well. Like personal, like you may be like wanting to grow the business while spending time with family as well. So how exactly do we take these goals that we have and make them a reality?
Well, number one, I would say there's no question that your thoughts create your life. That is not a new concept. It's been around since the beginning of time. It's truly what Jesus talked about in the Bible. If you believe that, it is what Dr. Wayne Dyer talked about. I mean, that concept, your thoughts create your life, has been around forever. And I feel like one of the things that I truly tested in this past six years since I left the job is it true? If you follow your passion, is it true? Can you make a life out of that? And do your thoughts really create your life? So I've done this deep dive into that experiment, really using my life as an experiment. And it is true that your thoughts do create your life, because you're basically, so that's, to me, that's number one, is what do you want to do? Knowing what you want to do and really even creative visualizing that in your head, imagining yourself doing that. It's called creative visualizing. There's lots of different terms for it. Really imagining yourself doing it. And then also obviously taking those steps, those baby steps, action steps of actually doing something towards it. So I've spent chunks of time on and off in my life just dreaming and creative visualizing about stuff. And I would actually get opportunities that would come. But if I didn't follow through with it, then of course it doesn't go anywhere. So we all have this incredible capacity to manifest what we want. The key is following through and doing the work to execute it and get it done and take those opportunities. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does. And the thoughts forming our lives, the thoughts do have a really big impact. And that's something that I do want to expand upon, because I've been able to interview a lot of people through this podcast, through virtual summits, and just meet a lot of people in general. And there are some people who I've like talked with where they have some like really dark pasts and like really dark moments. And they're able to rise above that, like these like crazy setbacks. Like, so they're able to rise above them and change their thoughts in like very slim and bleak situations. You have other people who may be in like their thoughts are very negative right now, especially like we'll just throw making money, because that's like, I feel like everyone wants to make more money. So maybe you have the person thinking, I've been at this for like a few years. How am I still struggling with this? And then you get that negative loop. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how we can change our thoughts, because I know that the your thoughts, like the way you think is the way you live, but how do we change our thoughts? We find ourselves in a negative loop.
Okay. This is a really simple exercise that it's so basic. And the key is the repetition of it. So, for example, even though I coach this and talk about it, and I'm still exercising it in my own life on a daily basis. So all the people that are out there teaching this stuff, it doesn't mean their lives are perfect and, you know, they don't have any issues or problems. It's a constant tweaking. So when the negative thoughts come into your head, so you mentioned money, let's say you're focusing on, oh my God, I don't have enough money to do what I want to do, whatever that is around money. I call it catch and release. So catch yourself in the negative thought. Oh, I'm doing that thing again where I'm spinning in my head about money. Because remember, what you focus on expands. What you focus on expands. So if you're going to focus on the lack of money, it's going to keep you stuck in that place. And actually send out a vibration of lack of, so you get more situations that prove to you this kind of lack of mentality. So you're spinning in your head about money. You catch yourself. That's self-awareness. Oh, I'm doing that thing again in my head. Do 3 deep breaths and slow exhales. The Navy SEALs actually do 4. They call it the 4x4 breathing technique. You can Google it. These 3 deep breaths and slow exhales, what happens? Well, number one, you stop the spinning in your head when you stop to take that deep breath and slow exhale. And even instead of doing the deep breath and slow exhale, you can even count slowly to keep your mind off of the money thing, to redirect your thought. And also what's happening scientifically, because if you're thinking about the money you don't have, you're stressing and your brain is releasing cortisol. So you feel the anxiety and the stress around it. When you take a deep breath and a slow exhale, your body immediately shuts off the release of cortisol in your brain. So that's why we feel immediately relaxed when you take a deep breath and a slow exhale. So again, step one, catch yourself in the negative thought. Step two, do 3 deep breaths and slow exhales to calm yourself down. And step three is to think a new thought. So tell yourself either something you know to be true and positive and factual about yourself, like I have a home, I have a bed, I have food in the cupboards, I have a car, whatever it is, just tactile, even in front of you. I have a coffee and a coffee cup. I'm sitting in this chair, whatever it is to get your mind in a different direction, something true and factual. And or something you want to see yourself doing in the future. Maybe you see yourself, Mark, I don't know, what's like name one thing that I know you're going to inspire. I do believe you're going to inspire 1 billion people around the world. So where do you see yourself, an image in your head? Can you see yourself? Maybe you're in Central Park in New York City or somewhere speaking to all these people and it's going out over the internet to 1 billion people around the world, for example. Could you see that happening?
I can see that happening in a, like possibly through online, but, I see something like that happening.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And maybe it's an event where you're looking at your laptop and all of a sudden you see 1 billion hits, you know what I mean? So you create a visualize this thing you want to happen in the future. You see yourself sitting there and imagining it, or someone saying, congratulations, Mark, you did it, 1 billion. Actually, you're ticking over 1 billion views right now or something like that. So that's what you do. It's you catch yourself in the negative thought. You stop, catch yourself in the negative thought, 3 deep breaths, slow exhales, and then you course correct. You're planting a new seed of thought to create that new neuro pathway. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love the visualization of it.
Yes. And by the way, people think it's brain surgery or something. It's not complicated. It's about having the self-discipline to catch yourself in the negative spin in your head. Then the deep breaths and the slow exhales. Scientifically, it's calming your body down. And I like to think of it in a spiritual way. Also, I like to think of it as boom, you're aligned with your higher self. When that deep breath and slow exhale, you're immediately aligned with God, source, the universe, whatever you want to call it, something, higher power, it's all the same thing. So that deep breath and slow exhale, you're immediately realigned with this higher self. And then you are planting a new seed of thought of something you know to be true and factual that's positive about yourself, or something you see yourself doing in the future.
And again, this the whole idea of setting up your thought pattern to align with the goals that you're going after, that's really important for accomplishing goals. But in addition to the thoughts that run through our head, I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from achieving their personal professional goals? Because we're all setting them, but not mm-hmm. necessarily everyone is achieving them at this stage.
Right. And I will also add that sometimes we achieve these goals and then we have a little setback. Maybe we achieve two more goals and then we have four setbacks. So it's always kind of this ebb and flow. It's never just this direct trajectory up. I believe that the thing that sets people back is self-sabotage. And where does that come from? In a nutshell, I believe that all human beings have almost every single human being, I believe, from birth to 13 or 14 maybe, had something traumatic happen to them in their childhood. For some people, it could have been a life-threatening illness. For other people, it could have been, you know, molestation or abuse or physical abuse, emotional abuse, or your parents get divorced when you're young, or somebody dies in the family. There's some traumatic thing, it seems to me, that happens to children between birth and 13 or 14. And that leaves such an indelible mark on us emotionally, that it's almost like there's a part of us that's kind of stunted. And then the rest of us grows up, we go through different grades, we become adults, our body changes, we get jobs, we move on. But yet there's still that part of us that is that younger part that's trying to protect us from getting hurt again, whether it's through a relationship or work or money or something like that. So that little part is kind of tripping us up, like, don't do that, or don't respond to that email, or, you know, just kind of tripping you up. It's not really meant to hurt you. It's just trying to protect you. So when we're aware that that's what's happening, when you can quickly go, can I give you an example?
Sure.
Okay. So with a client, I would say something, I'm just speaking in very general terms. I'm at work and I can't, this person's just not letting me, like, this, my boss is horrible and they're not, you know, they don't hear me and they won't listen to anything I say. And it just quickly might say, it's like, okay, where have you felt that in your life, in your early life? When's the first time you remember feeling that? It's my mom or my dad. They would never let me speak, or I was the youngest of seven kids, or whatever it is. It's just this experience in life right now, trying to help you heal that young part of yourself once and for all, to step into the fullness of yourself, face the situation and move through it. But we keep getting stuck and keep doing these subconscious self-sabotage behavior to protect ourselves. That's what I believe it is.
That is really interesting. And I think we should all, when we find ourselves in like a situation where we don't want to be in, or we find ourselves repeating the same patterns over and over again through our actions or like a common thought, it's really good to look back and see like these thoughts like don't just randomly pop up. They do pop up from past events. So getting to the root of why that is happening will help you learn a lot about yourself and find some ways to change your behavior and thoughts so you're able to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. But one of the big goals for you, Libby, was to just based on the gist of what I've been hearing so far, is becoming that life coach after you've worked with Oprah and a lot of other people. You want to be a life coach. And again, we have that story where your friend's like, okay, that's great, but how are you going to make money? And you have mm-hmm. love for it. So I want to ask you, what was one big challenge you faced on your journey to becoming a life coach? In particular, like when you were starting out on that journey, and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
So what was the big challenge? Is that what you're asking? One of my challenges on the journey?
Yes.
I would say that it was the money thing, really. Because when I left the job, I did not have any debt. I didn't have any debt. I had savings. I had a 401k. I was in good shape. And I just thought, oh, I'll take a year off and, you know, then figure out what I'm going to do next. And then I remember someone saying to me, oh, you shouldn't take more than 3 or 6 months off. You know, that's a year is too much. And, you know, fear, them projecting their fear onto me. People will forget about you if you take more than 6 months off. And I thought, well, whoever forgets about me, that's fine. I'm not supposed to be collaborating with them in some way. I'm not, that's not me. So it's fine. But I took this year off. And then, like I said, I thought, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to connect with people heart to heart and energy to energy. And it's really something I would do for free anyway. I mean, my goal is to have enough money that I don't even need to charge people. I love doing this. I love doing talks. I love talking to people. But the money thing, I'm not a CEO. I'm not a business person. And I decided to take all of my savings and reinvest it back into myself instead of taking a full-time job after my year that I took off. So I was living off of my savings and basically went too far down, like down through all of it. I mean, I don't even mind saying that because it was like, whoa. Because a lot of people think, oh, she worked with Oprah. She must be a millionaire, you know. And no, like I went through, like not went through, I reinvested into myself all of it. I could have done it in a lot shorter time, but I just really dragged it out. I thought, wow, this life is great, not having to go into an office and making your own schedule. So the reason why I tell you that is there was a period 1 year where I woke up at 5 a.m., and something said, check your email. And I checked my email and I had gone through everything and had credit card debt. I was like, whoa, oh my God, here's the day that everyone fears. This is it. Like, I have no money. I did this to myself, kind of a little like self-shaming. And something in me said, nope, you're not going to do that. You know exactly what to do, right? My higher self was like, you're not going to beat yourself up. And I share this story because a lot of people have been there. And so I got up and I went into the bathroom and brushed my teeth and looked in the mirror and was like, you've got this, you know exactly what to do. And I took the baby steps to get out of that hole. Baby steps. I sat down, I meditated because that's what I do every morning. And then I do meditation, prayer, intentional thought, and journaling every morning. So I did all of those things. And then I got my first cup of coffee. And then I went through my calendar and I took everybody off my calendar that was negative energy. And I immediately felt better. So I took these little baby steps and I, in my meditation and prayer, I said, okay, God, okay, universe, let's, here I am. This is the point I didn't want to let myself get to, but I'm here. Let's turn this cruise ship around in a canal and show people how quickly we can do it. And to make this long story short, 5 days later, I went into this hyper positive mode zone, this vortex of positivity. Anybody negative, I took off my calendar unless it was a client. I wouldn't allow people to talk about anything negative around me. I was exercising, I was meditating, journaling, just so on task and in my higher self. And 5 days later, from that day of when I woke up and was like, oh my God, I went through all my money. One of my clients said, wow, Libby, I love the work we're doing together. I want you to work with my entire company. There's 50 people, 50. And I know you can't coach 50 people at once, but let's figure out how you can coach my whole company. And basically that was the turning point, like immediately, 5 days later. I'm not saying the debt was wiped off completely 5 days later, but it was this drastic shift because I got myself into this hyper alignment of positivity. I'm taking all the action steps I need to get out of this hole and then slowly worked my way out of it.
Now, one of the interesting things about this story I want to point out to listeners is that Libby had this positive mindset and she was really honed in on getting herself out of the situation. And she focused on getting out of being able to generate revenue and then came the opportunity. So having the right mindset does help out when you're trying to get those opportunities. Like some opportunities, they literally come out of nowhere. You don't know how they came to you, but with that positive mindset, you're more likely to get opportunities that just literally emerge, and you didn't do any, like you did all the work in advance to get you to this point, but it seems like the opportunity just fell into your lap. And that, I believe, happens with positive thinking.
Yes. And Mark, and the action steps that I was taking as well, right? So I wanted to ask you, because that's one of the reasons why I said yes to your podcast. I mean, as soon as I read that you wanted to, on your about page where you said, I want to positively impact the lives of over a billion people, and that would then continue even beyond your life on this planet. I was like, boom, you have me right there. If that's what he wants to do, then I am so in. I would love to do this interview because those are the people that I want to align with, people like you. So do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure. I've asked you only like a bunch of them.
I wasn't sure. So I wanted to ask you, how do you feel that positivity has affected your life at 20 years old?
Positivity has affected me because I feel like I'm able to accomplish bigger things with that positivity, because I look at a goal and if it's a goal that I know that I'm like really focused on, I know I can accomplish it. I have positivity. So like I can set bigger goals and publicly state them. While if you're not as positive about the goals, you may not state them. You may not approach them with the full vigor. So the positivity allows me to put a lot of work towards my goals and not be afraid to make really big goals and to very publicly state them. Now, of course, like being positive, like you have to do action. You have to take action also, because you could be very positive about a goal, like say, I want to do this. But if you're not putting in the work, then it's not going to happen no matter how positive you are. So
that's right.
The key for me is I have the positivity, but I have to make sure that the actions that I'm doing don't contradict with what I'm being positive for, what I'm hoping and aspiring to do in the first place.
Yes, 100%. I'm so with you. I get that. Yeah. And can I make another comment about positivity? Because this is something that interests me so much.
Go for it.
So also in the past 6 years of doing this deep dive into what is energy, what are positive thoughts, negative thoughts, how does that affect our life? And through trial and error, mistakes. I'm up here, everything's good, it's great. And then, whoa, I'm down here. So what did I do to create that? Because we are co-creating our life with this higher intelligence, this higher energy, this something. So, and I've been trying to think, like, how do you break it down in the most Fisher-Price way that you can explain it so that people understand how their thoughts affect their life? And so we all know that we're made up of, this is what I believe to be, and it's not original. People talk about it all in all kinds of different ways. So we all know we're made up of atom cells and molecules, right? And we know that a cement block, it's denser, and water, it's looser, there's more space in there, but it's all atom cells and molecules, as you and I are, Mark. Mm-hmm. So when those atom cells and molecules move, it's called energy. And so when we think a thought, which, because we're atom cells and molecules, when we think a thought, let's say you, who's your dream person, Mark, to interview? Who would be your absolute top dream person right now? First person that comes to mind.
Well, the first person who comes to mind is Seth Godin, who I was actually lucky enough and privileged to interview for episode 16. So someone who like I haven't interviewed yet, that's something that I would have to think about, but like dream person to interview, Seth Godin, like right.
Yes,
away.
I read that. And I was actually trying to find that interview on your website. So now I just wrote down 16. I'm going to listen to it. So, so I'm sure there's someone, Anybody that comes to mind, a figure, anybody who's interesting to you, we can name anybody.
Who, like, I haven't interviewed yet, but really want to?
That's right. Yeah.
Two I could think of right away are Grant Cardone and Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay.
I feel like those two, I'm going to have them on at some point. Like, I feel it's going to happen. I don't know when, but I feel like it's going to happen.
Right. I love that. Okay. That's perfect. Cause I am convinced, I believe that they're both going to come on. So Grant Cardone. So when you think the thought, I know at some point, because you are a very positive person. I've read your website, your blog, all about you. My God, what you've accomplished at 20 is so much more than most adults I know. Congratulations to you. And so when you think about, you picture yourself thinking about interviewing Grant Cardone, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel very happy about it because I've listened to a lot of Grant's audiobooks, and I know a bad interview, I know all these interviews provide a lot of value, but I know he'll bring his intensity into the interview and like great insights. So I know it's also going to be really great for the listeners as well.
Yes. And that makes you feel what, when you think about that? Happy?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So that happiness that you feel is a feeling which is like putting information into the atoms, cells, and molecules of our body. The thought, I'm going to interview Grant Cardone, makes you feel happy. So boom, you've just injected this information into all your atom cells and molecules. They're moving. It's called energy. And that ripples out to the universe. It ripples out to the world. That energy, I am happy about interviewing Grant Cardone. What you send out, you get back. That's the law of attraction. So it doesn't necessarily mean, I do think you're going to interview him. But the point is that, so what you're sending out, a thought creates a feeling. That feeling is lodged into your atom cells and molecules. That they're moving, that energy ripples out. Like when you throw a pebble into a clear, calm pond, you see all the ripples go out. That's exactly what happens. And what you send out, you get back. And what you focus on expands. So that's kind of the most basic way of understanding the law of attraction and how our thoughts create our life. So we all know negative people that all they do is complain and talk about negative stuff. And when you look at their life, it's kind of not a great life. They're always sick and they're always miserable because those are the thoughts that they put in, that creates this bad feeling, the sick, heavy, dark, depressed feeling that ripples out to the world. So that's what they get back. That's the most basic way of explaining how our thoughts create our life.
And I really love the visualization again of like if you have don't be afraid to have a really big goal. I mean, like I've publicly stated just like two goals now that like they haven't materialized yet, but I'm putting them out there. So if you have a big goal, don't be afraid to verbally say it and tell people about it. Tell people who are going to support you though. Don't tell the people who are going to dissuade you or say you can't do that because you don't want any of that in your life. But one of the things that I value a lot, and I'm sure Libby can also testify to this, is self-education. And for me, that means reading as many books as I can get my hands on or ears for audiobooks. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
The very first one is the one that Oprah gave to me when I first started working with her, and it's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And she said, everybody who works with me must read this book. And I think it came out, well, that was 2000. I think it was published in 1998, maybe, or 99. So it's been around for 18 or 20 years. And I just read it again over the holidays. And it meant even more to me now. It's a little tiny book. It's so easy and it's life-changing. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Number two was another book that she gave to me or had recommended. And it's called Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth. And I believe that was published in 1948 or 1968. Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth. And he basically breaks down what the Bible says. I never read the Bible because it didn't make any sense to me. The languaging didn't make any sense. And he breaks it down into this very simple terminology and says, this is what it's saying here. But it's not, what's a good term, like religious based. It's human based. It's human nature based. So that was life changing for me. And another book, you know what? I just see it on my bookshelf right now. I wasn't going to say this one because I just saw it. It's called Five, Where Will You Be 5 Years From Today? And I remember I saw this on Amazon and I got it. And you fill out all this information about yourself and what you love doing and your passions and where you see yourself in 5 years. And I did that during the Libby Moore Gypsy Tour, which would have been in 2012. And I just pulled it out the other day and went, oh my God, I've accomplished all of this.
Wow. Congratulations. That's a big deal.
Thank you. Yeah. Those would be my 3 books.
Libby, thank you for those great book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, markgaberti.com/E167. And if you guys want a book on how to grow your content brand and generate more revenue, you can get my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgaberti.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, Libby, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together. I've had the surprise where you've asked me some questions as well, which I greatly enjoyed. But what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, what a great question, Mark. What is one question that we need to be asking ourselves? It's really more of a statement. Can I flip it around?
Go for it.
Okay, thank you. We're going to be out of the box today. It's really a statement. And if you can't, it's looking in the mirror and saying, I love you. It's that simple. And saying it in your head, I love you, to yourself, because that's what we really need right now, is for everybody to learn how to love themselves and honor and respect themselves. That's how you change the world. Truly, start with yourself and learn to love yourself.
That was worth the flip.
Yay. Thank you.
I mean, that's a really great statement. I feel like even if you're not, like, every time you look at the mirror, definitely think that. But, like, mm-hmm. even, like, right now, like, just pause this episode briefly and just say, like, I love yourself. I love myself in that case. Like,
yes.
Like, just, like, do it. Like, you don't have to be in the mirror. And the mirror is, like, it's more powerful in the mirror. I'm just visualizing it right now.
Yeah.
But just taking the time to do that, like, throughout the day is something very powerful. And I mean, the insights that you shared in this episode were really spot on. That statement was just a cherry on top. But for anyone who wants to learn more about Libby, you can head over to her site, libbymoore.com. That is Moore, M-O-O-R-E. So that's libbymoore.com. All this will be in the show notes. And on Instagram, you can follow her at libbymooregypsytour.com. Instagram at libbymooregypsytour. My bad. So that both of those will be in the show notes. And Libby, again, thank you so much for sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, it was my pleasure. And I really appreciate you reaching out. Thank you. And I cannot wait to see you hit that 1 billion mark. So I know you're going to do it. You're already doing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberti.com/retweets.